Fedheads, welcome to another episode of Sharing Our Pairings. This is Sharing Our Pairings, episode 70, Quesada 3.0, The Kegerator. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon. We are broadcast live on CigarFederation.com, on YouTube. We're picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network, heard around the world, wherever you're stationed in the world. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully we're not annoying you too much today. We're also picked up on podcast. If you have a device that connects to the internet, you're almost certainly able to connect to us and listen to us. If you're listening to us right now, thanks so much. Toss us a comment, toss us a thumbs up, up arrow, whatever up thing that they've got, toss it to us, and throw us a comment, because it's through show feedback on iTunes that we get lots of rankings, and we are currently the only 5-star rated podcast on iTunes for cigars. Thanks very much. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Robbie Rass. Rob, what's going on in California today, brother?
You know, things are good, man. I'm back from vacation, and I feel like I'm back in the flow of things, and I got some work done today, and I got to go back to the ballpark tomorrow, and, you know, it's just back in the flow of things, and it was really hot yesterday, and now it's cooled off again. It's probably going to rain tomorrow again, which is weird. So, anyway, all in all, things are good, man. Got some, I'm excited to be smoking the cigar again.
Absolutely.
We talked. We kind of waxed poetic about the Quesada keg, and Quesada 2.0. So well, I'm sure we'll do that again. But I've got three pretty substantial beers that I'm going to be going after today, and I'm excited, man.
I'm also excited. I mean, now Terrence can tune into the show and see if we're actually BSing him or telling the truth. And of course, we were actually telling the truth because we're waxing poetic in our group review, which got one of the highest, I think, unanimous group reviews out there. I think this, I'd have to go through our previous group reviews, but I feel like this is one of the higher consensus. Like normally when we have a high score in a group review, there's an outlier, someone around an 88 or an 89.
Matt,
you scored this a 92 box split. I also scored this a 92 box split. And I think, you know, we both kind of love beer, obviously.
True story.
We love the Quesada. They just keep coming out with great blends. And this kind of hit it with a great blend, but also great size. A 6x44 Lonsdale. I love Lonsdales. It's a great size for cigar geeks and beer geeks. It's got that nice, rich, dark. You can see it's got that super dark Pennsylvania broadleaf. Binder's Nicaraguan, filler's Nicaraguan, and the price point in these is stupid low. Stupid low. It's $5.95. And
yeah.
It sounds like I work for Quesada the way I'm pitching this, but like $5.95 for a premium cigar that tastes good is a really good deal.
That's a true story as well. I've gone through, it's probably like my sixth or seventh that I've had, and I've really enjoyed the cigar. And you know, like you mentioned, this was, you know, we gave it a 92, so you're right. I think that is one of our highest. Our highest combined scores ever, and everything that I've paired it with so far, it's granted everything that I've paired it with has been a stout. So, and I'm a stout guy, and you guys know that by now. So, I'm curious though. I've got a few different stouts here. I've got something barrel aged. I've got a sweet stout, and I've got another one that I really thought was just an imperial stout, but it turns out that it's an imperial peanut butter stout. So,
baby,
yeah. So, although I did peanut butter last time. With the Belching Beaver, but well, that was a milk stout. So we'll see. I'm excited to go down the road. One thing I've noticed, and we both commented on this before, is this particular cigar that I'm smoking felt really squishy when I picked it up. It didn't have a very solid feel to it, and I was a little bit worried that maybe the cigar was damp or it was going to burn funky or be plugged or something. It's still smoking fine, but a little bit squishy. It was just kind of weird.
Yeah, I found the body of the cigar was about right, but it was like near the cap. It was quite squishy. And like you said, it was damp. And I wasn't sure that was because I rested against a beer when I was taking a shot, or maybe I kind of stored it in a weird place in the humidor, which obviously I'm pretty careful about typically, but it's smoking well. It tastes as good as it did the last couple times I've smoked it.
Yep.
No complaints.
Yeah, absolutely. Just thought it was an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had a few, and they were all actually felt a little bit squishy. I don't remember that before, and I just had them in a Tupperware, so they weren't actually in my humidor. They were just in a little Tupperware. So I thought maybe I over-humidified them, but I don't think so. I think everything's fine. This one's got a little bit more spice up front, though, than I've had in the previous ones, and I think they all start off a little bit of spice. I'm just right here at the beginning, so about, half inch in, so We'll see how that goes.
I think what I like about the Pennsylvania broadleaf or the Connecticut broadleaf, and someone's going to point out that I'm wrong here, but I'm going to say it anyways. I find the Connecticut broadleaf has that little bit of earthy leather to it, where the Pennsylvania broadleaf has got that nice underlying sweetness. So it's not so in your face. It's still, you know, what I would qualify as a medium full body type of wrapper. But I like taking a, like, it's not that I don't like the leathery earth, but it's nice to take a break from that profile.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And this has, it has some of that sweetness to it, like you were saying. yeah. And again, the price point, it's tough to beat. Yeah. For any cigar really, but you know, you get to go with that premium style cigar for that price. In the size, I love the size. We talk about the Lonsdale 6x44. It's kind of right where that's right in my wheelhouse. We've mentioned that before as well. So let's get started, man. I've got these beers; they're just staring at me.
Roger that. So I had to look through my history to see, because this beer stuck out in my mind. I'm doing this big long lead in for our podcast listeners. We've done so many shows now. This is show 70. I'm going to have to start keeping a spreadsheet of all the stuff we've paired, because I'm legitimately starting to lose track. And when I pulled this beer out of my fridge, I'm like, this, it seems familiar, but you know, looking through my Untappd, I'm like, I haven't had this before. I don't know why it seems familiar. And it seems familiar because you did this back on show 21 when we did the Smoking Monk series. This was the one you picked with the Smoking Monk Porter series. This is the Black Butte Porter from Deschutes Brewing. We're both big fans of Deschutes. They make some really good stuff. Of course, located in Bend, Oregon. They were founded in 1988. I had to do a little bit of research. One of the things I want to comment on is I notice on a lot of these beer sites, when they go to talk about themselves, I think they need someone else to talk about themselves, because it's, you know, they do this little blurb and they're like, you know us, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, that's great. Where are you located? When were you founded? You know us, we're a great family company. That's admirable. But I'm looking for where you're located and what time you started. And consistently, when I was going through all the different beer sites, they didn't want to talk about it. You know, I think it might be one of those things where it's hard to talk about yourself. So I found that kind of amusing. I'm going to hold up the beer here, give you a chance to respond. It's got that nice dark porter color to it, although it's, you know, got that thin quality to it that you get out of a porter rather than a stout. So it doesn't, you know, it's not syrupy, it's not thick. It is 5.2% ABV, which is pretty light for an afternoon beer, as we are doing a little bit of a pre-record surprise.
Spoilers.
As of this particular time when this show is airing, I will be opening up 2 cigar shops, so I'll be quite busy. So we had to do pre-record, sorry to our audience. I hope you still appreciate the content. Getting back to the beer, 5.2% ABV, 30 IBUs. They list the calories. I'm going to say it, 192 calories. Mm. Doesn't really seem that bad. It's kind of about what a can of Coke is. Pale malt. Let me try that again. The malts are pale, carapils, chocolate, crystal, and wheat. For hops, they use Cascade. We keep running into Cascade hops, especially with those West Coast breweries. Bravo and Tetnang. And they say it's got notes of rich chocolate and coffee, a luscious creaminess, and a roasted finish. And I'm going to take some sips and give you a chance to respond, because that was a huge blurb.
No, that's a great beer. And we've talked about Deschutes a few different times. I know we've had that particular beer. And I feel like we've done some of their holiday stuff too as well. too as well, just in case you didn't pick up on that. I went with the first stout that I'm going with here. Is the sweetest of the 3 stouts that I've got going today. And it's from Breakside Brewery, Salted Caramel Stout, and is made in collaboration with Salt and Straw Ice Cream. So it's a stout brewed with salt and caramel added. 6.7% ABV. And again, this is Breakside Brewery. This is the first time I'd had Breakside Brewery. I picked this up from that service called Tavor that I've talked about in the past. They make different beers available, and you can order through them. It's like a beer of the month club almost, but you get to pick what you want.
I love that idea.
Yeah, and they email you. You know, I'm probably getting about, on average, 1.5 emails from them a day, I guess, with something new. And it's always something new. And they have some really cool stuff. They have some stuff I've never heard of. Anyway, so I picked this up because it was Salted Caramel Stout. Why would I not pick that up?
Absolutely.
And I do like a sweet stout. A little bit about Breakside. Breakside Brewery, they opened in 2010 in the Woodlawn neighborhood of Northeast Portland, so it's an Oregon brewery. In 2013, they expanded their operations to Milwaukee, Oregon. I didn't realize there was a Milwaukee, Oregon, with a 30-barrel production brewery filled with 30, 60, and 120 barrel tanks, barrel rooms, and other stuff. So they're doing some sours, and they're doing a bunch of different things up there. They've got some awards and some stuff like that. We can see their full list of accolades, but I'm not going to go into it. Breakside beers are available on draft in 22-ounce bottles in Oregon, Washington, Hawaii, Northern California, that's where I am, Colorado, Idaho, British Columbia, and Alberta.
Nice.
And I don't think you're not in Alberta, are you?
I'm most certainly in the most Alberta of all Alberta, Calgary, Alberta.
You are? I see. That's right. Okay. Yeah, I got to figure that out. I got to figure out Canada. I don't know anything about you guys. So just some information on this salted caramel stout. It's a seasonal beer. It's available January through March. It looks like every year for the past few years. They say 7.9 on their website, but it says 6.7 on the bottle, so probably changes with the year. They use two-row chocolate flaked barley, roasted barley, black malt, Munich, and crystal malts. They use Newport hops. That's the only hop that they use for bittering, I would assume. And it's 33 IBUs. I've had this beer before, and it is quite sweet. It's actually too sweet for me.
Oh.
To be real specific. Not something that's, frankly, that I enjoyed really the first time that I had it. But the reason that I decided to go with this is because I remember that flavor profile that we're getting out of this keg, Quesada keg, and I feel like the sweetness here and the spice and the earthiness from the cigar are going to work pretty well. So I'm excited to see how it is. And as you guys can see, this is definitely, that's a stout, baby. That's nice, thick, and a nice creamy head on it. Has a lot, yeah, indeed. Has a lot of chocolate, really, chocolate and coffee on the nose, and there's that sweetness, kind of a nondescript sweetness on the nose as well. But I'm going to dive into this and see how your pairing's going with that Deschutes.
Before I talk about my pairing, I'm just going to remind our audience you're tuned to Sharing Our Pairings, Episode 70, Quesada 3.0, The Kegerator. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon, joined as always by my co-host, Robbie Rass, broadcast on CigarFederation.com and heard around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're doing some Quesada Keg 2016 pairings here. I'm pairing with a porter. And I get a lot of coffee off the nose, which is to be expected on a lot of porters. And there's a nice sort of toasted caramelized sugar there as well. And then I do get I do get this nice balanced espresso when I drink it. And, you know, one of the things I think that separates porters and stouts for me in a flavor profile is that when a porter has coffee, it's like a hint of coffee. You know, it's like coffee's in there, but it's not taking over the flavor profile. Where in a lot of stouts, I'll get a blast of espresso, and sometimes that espresso will carry right through to the post-taste, so I kind of get that lingering espresso in my mouth, and sometimes I enjoy that, and sometimes I don't, because it can change the flavor profile of what I'm pairing it with, whether that's food or whether it's cigar or whatever. But in this case, the Black Bee Porter is really nicely balanced, and it is offsetting the Quesada keg really well. What's interesting is listening to your description of your beer, that salted caramel, which sounds fantastic. I kind of want something a little bit sweeter because I feel like there's not enough sweetness in this Black Bee Porter to offset the Quesada keg. And, you know, we did a lot of pairings the last show, and I wanted to go in a different direction, and I kind of did. But, you know, it's still good. It's still an enjoyable pairing. I don't think you go wrong picking a random porter or a random stout in this Quesada keg.
Yeah, that I would agree with. I would agree with everything that you said because the extra sweetness that I'm getting here. And like I said, I had this beer on its own, and if you know, you guys know me a little bit, I like the sweeter stouts. I like sweeter milk stouts and things of that nature. This was just too sweet for me. It was just too much. You know, I could have a couple of sips, but for a bomber, no way, man. It's just way too sweet. But that sweetness is doing exactly what I had hoped for. It is playing really, really well with the earthy notes and the spicy notes of the cigar. I get, when I take a sip of the stout, I get that salty, that salty flavor right on the tip of my tongue, and some sweetness as well. On the finish, I get that caramel, and the caramel is really kind of intensified by the sugar. It is intensified by the sugar, but it's intensified by the flavor profile of the cassata cake. It's really, really nice the way that these two are playing together. It's a little bit heavy on the palate. Like I find myself wanting to reach for a sip of water here and there, which probably isn't a bad idea. But I don't normally get that. So this is, we talked on our last show with Tony Bellotto about how you can have like a really big beer and a big cigar and just that flavor just keeps building and building and building.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I am right here because there's so much flavor and it's great, but I do want to take a sip of water here and there.
I hear you. So, I mean, talking about my pairing, I find, interestingly enough, the cigar is bringing more sweetness to the table than the porter is. So I get, like I said, I get that maltiness, and it's nice, and I get that espresso, which is also nice, but I'm not getting a lot of sweetness there. And that's not a bad thing, because I think if I were, at least for this pairing, it would be competing with the sweetness of that broadleaf. And it's nice. I mean, there's enough sweetness. Not enough sweetness compared to your pairing, but there's enough sweetness to offset that spice. But I'm definitely getting that spice sort of lingering on my tongue. So I take a couple sips of the beer, I take a couple more sips of the beer, I take a puff, I come back, and there's like a little bit of lingering black pepper, a little bit of lingering spice, but not overpowering. I'd put it maybe at a medium minus thereabouts.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking back to our last show, and I too had to go back and look to see which beers I paired with. And I actually had done in our previous Cassata Cake show just a standard Guinness draft, a peanut butter milk stout from Belching Beaver, and the Bourbon County stout,
which is almost cheating.
Yeah, and it's, and if memory serves, I really, really liked the pairing with the Guinness.
Yeah.
And for some reason I wanted to go kind of in the opposite direction, you know, stuff that was a bit more full-bodied as far as the beer is concerned. And I'm hoping that it works out. What I'm noticing here is the more that I drink this, the less that I like it. The salt, that salt, salted caramel part, the salty part, is really, really pronounced on the tip of the tongue. And the caramel is sweet. It's not overpowering or cloyingly sweet, but the sweetness is definitely there, and it's bringing out that extra spice in the cigar. I feel like it does a lot for the cigar. In fact, I actually like the cigar better, excuse me, with this beer than on its own. But the beer is just a little bit. It's a bit too much.
Now
I feel like I need to try some other stuff from Breakside because I'm giving them a hard time here. But I mean, this is a dessert beer, absolutely. And you pick up a bomber, and you can share it with two or three other people, and then it's fine. You know, you're just having a few sips, and it's great. But putting back a full bomber, there's no way I could do that. It's just too sweet for me. But
I mean, we have talked about the saltiness in a beverage or saltiness in pairing with cigars, and I mean, the nice thing about that saltiness is that it does sort of supercharge your palate and allow you to taste some stuff that otherwise you wouldn't, but obviously in this case it's going to be offset by that cloying sweetness.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, it almost becomes, the saltiness almost becomes sour.
Wow.
Like it's too much salt. You know what I mean? Like you have a little bit of salt on something and it's fine, but if you like, you put your thumb in there and you cover it with salt and you like lick it off, then that, it's that kind of tart saltiness, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm using the right terminology, but I think you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's it's too bad because it started out really well, and now it's just getting a little bit funky.
So I'm going to get into my second pairing here. As much as I enjoy that Deschutes, I'm going to have to go move on to something. It's actually a stout, and I'll rage for a little bit because, you know, it's funny to me when something's called a stout and something's called a porter, and of course those terms are often used interchangeably. What I consider to be a stout and what other people consider to be a stout, very different things. But they're the brewmasters, I'm not, so I digress. This is from Tool Shed. Tool Shed is a local Calgarian brewery. I've featured them on the show before. They've got some really great, crisp, fresh IPAs. And I heard, it was about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, that they came out with a stout. And I was all over it. I love their packaging. Simple, but cool. This is the James Gordon's Flat Cap Stout. Obviously referenced his hat. One of the things I really like is that on the back of their can, you can see that there.
Oh, nice.
They've got the strength, they've got pairings, and it's an infographic. It's very easy to read.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, they're saying good with like mussels, good with, I think that's just a regular pie, although it could be a meat pie. And I think the last one is a snail. I'm going to go ahead and assume that's a snail. So they also have a little sort of bar, a slider bar that makes you think you could move it back and forth. So obviously this is on the dark side, and it is, again, like the first porter. This is very dark, although, where I would classify this as being somewhat porterish in my mind is it is not very thick like a lot of the stouts that I've had. So it's more of a porterish thickness. And then, they've got the malt versus hoppiness, and this is, 90% towards the multi characteristic. So, they've got a really cool story in the side, which I'm not going to bore our readers with. Basically, they say the short version is, in order to mirror the classy GQ flat cap wearing style of Jamie, this stout is a deeply roasty and rich with a surprising presence of hops and a beautiful, smooth, dry finish. If ever a stout were to rock a flat cap like Jamie did, this would be that beer. It's only 5.5%, so it's quite light. I want to take some sips here while you talk about your second pairing.
I'm actually kind of torn with what my second pairing should be. I've got a bourbon barrel stout that is only 6.9%, which is kind of strange. And then I've got an imperial stout here that's
very odd.
Yeah, that's 8.1. I think I'm going to go with the imperial stout anyway, because I have a feeling that the flavor from the bourbon barrel stout is going to be a bit overwhelming. So I'm going to go. This is a brewery this is the first time I've had anything from them. It's called Mother Earth Brew Company, and they're in Vista, California. And I'm having their Syntax, which is a cute little play on words, Imperial mm-hmm. Stout. And if you take a, there's a young lady on the bottle here that is.
I wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crackers.
She's dressed very provocatively, and looks like she's going to maybe a Halloween party or something to that effect.
Or perhaps she works at a establishment in Las Vegas. Who knows?
It's possible. like I said, this is actually, I didn't realize it. It just says Imperial Stout here, but when you go to their website, it's an Imperial Peanut Butter Stout, and it even says on the back, it says blah, 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 with an peanut butter essence. So I don't know how they got the essence out of peanut butter, but they did, and they put it in the beer here. So
maybe
I'm excited.
Afraid that if they put peanut butter on the jar, the glass, it would scare people away.
Yeah, I don't know, something like that. But it's very prominent on their website, which their website could use a little updating. I'm gonna give them a shout out there. But Mother Earth Brew Co., they have been around. They were founded in 2008 by three passionate brewers. From a modest garage to a 20,000-plus square foot facility with an additional 4,500 square foot tap house in historic downtown Vista, California, Mother Earth Brew Company maintains their original goal, which is to challenge even the most discriminating beer drinker by creating complex, palate-pleasing beers and to promote the art and science of craft beer making. They opened a second brewery, or it was just the second brewery in Vista in 2010. So not too many brewers in Vista. I've never been to Vista. I assume that's in Southern California. In early 2016, they broke ground on their new location, 40,000 square feet. Wow. Facility in La Palma, Idaho, just 20 minutes left of Boise. So they are expanding, which is great to hear. Unfortunately, their homebrew store was once open at 204 Main Street is now closed. So if you're in the area and you want to go there, it's not open anymore. Mother Earth is expanding. I take it back. I said this was the first beer from them that I've had. I have had their cream ale called California Cream, and it's a vanilla cream ale, and it was actually pretty good. But they've got a couple IPAs. They do a half. They have a coconut brown ale, which sounds really good. They have a Galaxy IPA, Sweet Spot is what it's called. a few different IPAs, an Imperial IPA, and a dry hopped Berliner Weiss, which sounds interesting. Yeah, sounds interesting as well. So they've got a pretty deep portfolio of beers. Don't give you too much information here about the syntax itself. It's 8.1%, 68 IBUs. It apparently contains no peanut allergens, so that's good.
Interesting.
If you're, yeah, the essence leaves the, they leave the peanuts, the allergens behind, and they just took the essence. So I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek, but no, I am excited about it. And this is, again, another big, dark beer, nice, creamy head. Oh, there is some peanut butter on the nose, for sure. And like a sweet cream almost. Interesting. Yeah, I'm excited about this. This is going to be interesting. So let's. I'm going to give this a ride and see how. How's your pairing going?
So while you sample that, I'm going to remind our audience you're tuned in to Sharing Our Pairings, episode 70, Casada 3.0, The Kegerator. Unfortunately, not broadcast live because we had to do a pre-record, but thanks for tuning in anyways, and thanks to all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners wherever you are in the world. Hope you're warm and comfortable and safe. While we sit here and drink our beers and smoke our cigars, I'm drinking the Tool Shed Flat Cap Stout. And this is kind of, it's interesting because I've had this before. It didn't blow my skirt up per se because I'm sort of used to a certain quality from their IPAs that I've really enjoyed. I've really enjoyed their red ale and their strong ale. And I guess I kind of found the stout a little bit underwhelming. What's interesting is that with this cigar, it's kind of exactly what I was hoping for. That is, it's got just a little bit of maltiness, coming off of the Deschutes, which was very, very malt forward. This has less malt, but it's got more sweetness and almost no espresso. So what I wanted was that sweetness to maybe offset some of the cigar, and it's just enough. It's not sickeningly sweet. It's just that nice malty sweetness, and I'm getting a ton of flavor out of the cigar now. So I take a retrohale of a cigar, and I get this wonderful creaminess that wasn't there before. I get this wonderful spice that is balanced with the creaminess instead of just being, spice by itself. And the sweetness does a great job of sort of cutting that pepper off. So when I have a little bit of lingering pepper post-draw, the beer kind of refreshes that, takes that pepper away. It's a good combination. I wasn't expecting this to pair as well as it has, but I'm really enjoying it. I'm going to take some more puffs and sips and see if I can formulate some more thoughts while you talk about that peanut butter Imperial Stout.
Yeah, this is actually this is actually right where I want it to be as far as that sweetness is concerned. This is, I'm in a kind of a similar place that you were talking about, John. It's more of a brown sugar flavor to me. There's a little bit of peanut butter on the nose, and I get some of it on the tongue. It might just be getting run over by the cigar, but it's a real nice sweetness. It's a creamy sweetness and almost an earthy sweetness. Brown sugar has that kind of molasses in there, and that's that type of sweetness that I'm getting. It's playing really, really well with the cigar, highlighting the spice on the retrohale and on the tongue, for that matter, from the Casada keg. So I'm getting that sweet. I'm getting that spice. It's not too heavy. It's not too. It does everything right that my last beer did wrong.
Nice.
If that makes sense. And I'm gonna have to track down more of this. And I'm glad that they're local. And I know I can just go down to my local BevMo and pick some more of this up because this is pretty damn good. Just the beer on its own, yeah.
So what I like about this Tool Shed, it's got, you're talking about creaminess. It's got a great mouthfeel. I'm going to talk more about mouthfeel as we have more pairing shows because mouthfeel, I think, sometimes is underrated. I was going to say overrated, but it's underrated. So it's got that great creamy mouthfeel that sort of goes around in your mouth. It's very satisfying, but it doesn't stick to your palate. So it's not like a actual thick cream where you've got that coating on your mouth. It's just got that fluffy creaminess to it, and then it goes away. One of the things I forgot to talk about with Tool Shed that sort of maybe get you pumped up. The owners of Tool Shed, the founders of Tool Shed, Jeff and Graham, started by brewing a 5-gallon home system in Graham's backyard. That's how they started, and boom. Now they've got their own facility, and they're a bunch of cool guys doing brewing. So if they can make it in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, I'm sure that you can make it in the hop capital of California.
Absolutely, man. That's you're going to someday somebody's going to be cracking open one of my beers, and they're going to say, wow, they started in with doing 5-gallon batches in California.
Maybe at that point, they'll completely have forgotten that you even smoke cigars.
Yeah, you never know.
Rob smokes cigars? I thought he was just a beer guy.
No, absolutely not. This is really good, man. And I'm getting a little bit of coffee on the finish from it now, too. There's a complexity in the beer that I really enjoy. There's a lot of depth of flavor here. There's that creaminess. There's that brown sugar. I am getting some of that peanut butter now, too. And that coffee on the finish, it's definitely a malty flavor throughout. I'm not getting any kind of bitterness, any kind of hop flavor from it at all, which I didn't expect anyway. But it's pairing really, really well. I do still find myself wanting to reach for the water, and maybe it's just because I haven't had enough water today. Who knows? But there's a lot of flavor here. It's not overpowering. Just like you're talking about mouthfeel, it's not sticking to the palate at all. I feel like every time I take that sip and then I move on to the cigar, I'm getting kind of a fresh interpretation of both flavor profiles, which is really nice. And I'm digging this pairing, man. This Mother Earth Bruco Syntax Imperial Peanut Butter Stout, which I don't know that I would call it a peanut butter stout, and I can see why they didn't, because if they did and I picked this up, I'd be a little bit disappointed because there's not a lot of peanut butter in there. But there's some. Just the essence.
Just the essence.
That's all you need, just the essence.
So, going back to the cigar, obviously we've smoked a few of these now, and I feel like this is a cigar that could be in my regular rotation. Like, it's just, I want to say it's like a medium, medium plus. It doesn't blow away your palate, but it's got so much going on, and at the price point, I mean, it's just so affordable. Like this is something that I would buy a bundle of and just keep it around, because if I feel like something a little bit, with pairing or whatever, this would be a no-brainer. And again, Lonsdale, I mean, you got me at Lonsdale, right? So anything you do beyond that point is either going to keep me or lose me, and so far keeping me, just like the other two.
Yeah, I would agree, man. It's I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but it's a damn good cigar. I mean, for me, it's a solid medium in strength. It's not going to blow you away, but there's a ton of flavor. It doesn't need to be paired. That's I think the beautiful thing about, I think especially about the cigars that Casada makes that are intended to be paired, this one and the Oktoberfest, I think those cigars stand alone, stand on their own as great blends. And I would have no problem smoking this every day. I mean, sometimes the flavor might be a little bit more heavy than you would want on a regular basis, but I don't know. I mean, if too much flavor turns you off, then... But I don't know how to help
maybe
you.
Maybe this isn't the right show for you then.
Yeah, I don't know how to help you. But this is definitely, I hate to say that it's an everyday cigar, because I think that's selling it short.
Yeah.
It's a cigar that is priced to be enjoyed every day. And I'd love to smoke this every day, frankly. I love the size. The flavor profile is great. And it's, the more that I have sips of this Imperial Stout, the Syntax from Mother Earth Bruco Brewing Company, I'm really digging this pairing, and I'm going to have to track down some more of these and do a little review on Mixed and Mashed for this one, because this is pretty good.
There you go. So I think in our last show, when we had Terrence Riley on, our last Casada Keg show, I think Terrence was talking about IPAs, and I remember, and I could be totally just inventing this in my head, but I remember him talking about IPAs, and I remember thinking, we kind of got sidetracked in the IPA conversation. I remember thinking, we found some cigars that have paired well. IPAs, though, such hit and miss, but I took his advice, and I went with an IPA for my last pairing.
Oh, wow.
Just totally different direction. And I didn't go with like a Nancy IPA.
Uh-uh.
I went with the Sierra Nevada. Now, I'm sure you've probably had Sierra Nevada, because it's kind of around-ish the California area, which, as we've discussed before, is a pretty big area. Sierra Nevada is out of Chico, California, founded in 1979, first brew in 1980, which was an American stout, interestingly enough.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, founded by Ken Grossman and Paul Camusi. And this is a heater. I was fortunate enough at one of my local shops here, Kensington Wine Market, they were doing a pouring. I'd never tried I think I tried this and two others. This ended up being my favorite. It was really balanced. I mean, they call it an extra IPA, and so that you think, okay, well, it's going to be, hops. You're going to be chewing on hops. But it's a great example of one of those IPAs that isn't just bitterness and piney notes. There's a lot of beer going on, and the hops are balanced out. No one hop is jumping into your face, and I really like that because that's what I like in an IPA. So I'm going to hold it up here. It's a little bit more golden, dark color than a lot of IPAs. Like, it's almost approaching a strong ale. Like, normally when I look at IPA, it's kind of a straw color, and to me this is like almost an amber ale color, which, you know, is interesting, but ultimately doesn't really matter. I just, you know, keeping it real for our podcast listeners who are not watching us. So this is 7.2%, 17 degrees Plato. You'll have to go back to earlier shows to remember what Plato is. Their finishing Plato was 3.8 degrees. 65 IPUs, which we've talked about IBUs. That's pretty hoppy, but that being said, we've had a lot of beers that are 65 IPUs and aren't really hoppy, and this, to me, is an example of a IPA that isn't as hop-forward as you would expect. Obviously, they use ale yeast, and then they use what they call a bittering hops, which is Magnum, and then for the finishing hops, they use Magnum, Crystal, and Citra. For malts, they use two-roll pale and caramel. That's all pretty standard. What I like about their site, and, you know, keep doing this, breweries, they have a cuisine pairing, lamb, duck, southwestern cuisine. That all sounds good to me. And then they recommend, it's cut off here, but I have to assume it's an aged cheddar. It just says aged chi, but that's got to be aged cheddar because aged cheddar is good. So now that I've waxed poetic about the Sierra Nevada, I'm going to take some sips while you talk about your last beer there, Robbie.
So before I jump in, now you talked about bittering hops there. Mm-hmm. And do you want to know the difference between the different stages of hop usage?
I do.
Do we have time for that?
We do. We've got about 20 minutes.
Okay. So I'll go into, since my home brewing journey is still very, very new, I'm think of me as Frodo, and I'm still kind of happy running around. I still have like sausages to cook and stuff, and I'm not in Mordor yet. I'm still running around, and nothing's gone wrong in my journey yet. So, well, that's not true, but I'm in the analogy. So with the hop usage, and I'll paraphrase and just kind of use it in the terms that I'm familiar with, on a grander scale, it's going to be different. But if you're brewing a 5-gallon batch, you're going to do, for the most part, a 60-minute boil of your wort. And when you're boiling your wort, that's when you're going to add your hops. So your bittering hops go in first, and they usually go between 60 and 45 minutes. At the 60 to 45 minute mark. So they're going to be in your wort boiling for 60 minutes. So the longer you boil the wort, the longer you boil the wort and have the hops in there, it breaks down the oils, and really you lose the kind of the flavor of the hop, and you really mainly get that bitterness.
Interesting.
The flavoring hops come in the last 15 minutes or so of your boil. So in that last 15 minutes, it breaks down the enzymes just enough to where it releases those oils and you still get that flavor. The finishing hops go in the last few minutes, or even dry hops or whatever, and that's really, you're getting hop flavor, not as much aroma, I beg your pardon, you're getting hop aroma, not as much flavor from the hops that come in at the end. So that's when they say that they have their bittering hops, they go in right at the beginning, and that was probably the only bittering hop that they used was whichever one you said it was. And that was in for the majority length of the boil.
That was the Magnum bittering hops, for those of our audience paying attention there.
Yeah. So that Magnum went in, they had their boil for 60 minutes, let's say, and as soon as they got to a boil and they started their timer, bam, that's when the Magnum went in. And that stayed in for that full 60 minutes. And then you put your, like I said, your flavor and your aroma hops in later. So just a little bit of background on that. And
education.
Yeah, to jump in, and I may have the flavoring and aroma hops backwards at the end. I'd have to double check, but
well,
don't quote me on it.
If wants to call you out, they can call me at rob@cigarfederation.com.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one or the other. I may have it backwards. Anywho, for my third and final pairing, I am going with another offering from Anderson Valley, which we featured Anderson Valley several times here in Boonville, California. And this is their bourbon barrel stout, and it is it's a malt beverage aged in wild turkey bourbon barrels, hence the turkey in the background on the label there. Anderson Valley Brewing has been around for a while, and they do some pretty cool stuff. The history of the Anderson Valley itself is pretty interesting. If you go to their website, it's avbc.com. Anderson Valley Brewing Company, AVBC.com. And they use some interesting terms and names for their beers. And they're used, they're, a lot of the words that they get are from a language that was spoken in Boonville back in the 1800s. And it's called Boonting, Boontling, B-O-O-N-T-L-I-N-G was the language that was spoken there. And, I mean, it's basically a dead language now because nobody else really speaks it. But they use that in the naming of a lot of their beers. So you'll see they get some interesting names. The brewery itself was founded on December 26th. So somebody used their Christmas money and went and opened a brewery in Boonville, California in 1987. So they've been around for a while. They were brewing out of a modest 10-barrel brew house located in the lower level of the original brew pub, the Buckhorn Saloon. That sounds like a great place, dude, the Buckhorn Saloon.
Yeah!
Yeah. In 1996, they expanded, and they've been expanding ever since. Anderson Valley's pretty much, you can get them pretty much everywhere. And some of their gozas are really, really good. The watermelon goza and their blood orange particularly are quite tasty. This bourbon barrel stouts aged for 3 months in wild turkey bourbon barrels. You get a woody vanilla-like notes imparted by the barrels. That's what you get there. And on the nose, it's funny when I'm reading this. On this nose, I'm blasted with toffee. Just absolutely blasted with it. And that's one of the main things that they say you're going to get on. You need some baked bread and some espresso in there as well. The flavor profile is really, really interesting. And I've had this beer several times on its own. So we'll get into that in a little bit. And they do a little bit of everything on their website. It's got a basic look to it, the website does, but they have everything that you're going to want. They tell you food pairings for this particular beer. Beef sliders with caramelized onions, pulled pork tacos, beer float with vanilla bean ice cream. That might have to happen in the Double R household. Cheese pairings, smoked gouda and aged cheddar. Not aged che or chi, aged cheddar. Glassware, you want to use a snifter, like this one here. Which is a nice little... and
fancy.
Fancy from... we've said this a bunch of times.
Spieglau.
That one. Thank you for saving me there, because I would have jacked that up big time. ABV is 6.9%, 14 IBUs, so it's not very bitter. Malts, pale, two-row, crystal, 40L and 80L. Roasted barley, Munich, chocolate, and oats. Hops, they use Columbus and Northern Brewer. So, and these are probably just bittering hops that they're using, I would imagine. So, I've had this several times. I'm curious to see how this pairs based on the things that I've had before, because the flavor profile on this has been a little bit sweet, but it also get that, you get that bourbon flavor, which is nice. And the last time when I paired with the Bourbon County, it was good, but I felt like the Bourbon County was a little bit strong, if memory serves. So I'm hoping that this falls maybe a tick or two below that and melts in pretty nicely.
You're tuned into Sharing Our Pairings, episode 70, Casada the Keg... let me try that again. Boy, that's what happens when you have three beers. Sharing Our Pairings, episode 70, Casada 3.0, the Kegerator. I'm your host, John, the Cigar Surgeon, joined with my co-host, Robbie Rass. And talking about this pairing, so I'm reminded of why I love this IPA so much. Get a nice amount of citrus on the nose. It's not a bitter citrus. It's a rich sweet citrus on the palate. I don't get tons of bitter hops. It's fantastic. I mean, it's like for me. What I want out of an IPA is I want the hops to support the flavor characteristics of the beer. I want the hops to just, you know, I want that quadruple imperial IPA hop that just blasts my tongue with bitterness and all I can taste is like sour hops. And this is so creamy. Like, it's outstanding for me to have an IPA that's so creamy and yet it's got the wonderful citrusy hop flavors. There's no pininess to it, which I do enjoy pininess out of hops, but there's no pininess out of this. And it's got a short finish. So it's got that little bit of citrus to finish. And what I'm finding with this Casada keg is it's supercharging the Casada keg, which I wasn't expecting. So I'm getting, well, I've gone from sort of with the flat cap stout, Whereas getting the sweetness that was offsetting the pepper and offsetting the spices, I'm getting the exact opposite here. It's supercharging the spices, and I'm just getting completely blasted when I take a retrohale. It's almost to the point where I literally have to take 5 puffs between retrohales because the spice is so intense and the pepper is so intense. But then I have a sip of the Sierra Nevada, and the creaminess, it's good. It's a nice break. So I wasn't expecting this IPA to pair as well as it did. And this may end up being the pair of the night for me. But now that I've waxed a little poetic, why don't you tell me how that delicious barrel stout is going for you?
Which IPA is it? The Torpedo or Toledo or whatever?
Yeah, so this is the Torpedo Extra IPA. Okay. And again, when you see Extra IPA, you know, you think, okay, well, you know, they're just going to go crazy with the hops. But that's, I mean, even at 65 IPU, I would describe this as citrusy and creamy. It's just not at all what, you know, and that's why I think I gravitated so strongly towards this, is it's just got so much creaminess and hoppiness, and they're both in balance, and it's just a wonderful IPA.
Yeah, that's one of those beers that I think that I take for granted, because I mean, it's always available. Mm-hmm. It's every time I go to Safeway, I see it there. They actually have it in cans now.
Nice.
Which they never did before, so that might be kind of interesting to give that a shot. And I'd like to revisit that, actually, because I haven't had that beer in a while, and I do really like it. They have they do some pretty cool stuff at Sierra Nevada, actually. And they've been around for so long that they get kind of taken for granted, I think, in as far as like craft beer drinkers are concerned. I mean, everybody wants, you know, what's new in boutique and blah, blah, blah. And then the same way with cigar smokers. And
yeah, we don't know anything about that.
Yeah. and things like, you know, the cigar that came out 4 years ago or 5 years ago is still really good, but just completely taken for granted because it's not brand new, and so you're not going to spend your time smoking it, which is unfortunate because there's a lot of good stuff out there, and I think this is a good reminder, at least for me. So this pairing is interesting. You're talking about all the spice that you're getting out of your cigar. I'm getting like none now. I have like no spice coming through. It's completely smooth. It's completely just, there's that little bit of sweetness there, but I'm just getting a ton of earthy notes. Almost some leather coming out of this as well, which is
definitely getting the leather. Tons of leather, actually.
Yeah, and that spice for me is gone. It's gone on the retrohale. It's gone on the tongue. The flavor profile, and I haven't really taken too many sips of this, and I do want to take a few more. It's a little bit tart, oddly enough. It hits that tart spot on the sides of your tongue there, and I think my palate is just not used to it. So I want to take a few more sips, if we can afford me another minute or two here to do that, so I can maybe get a bit more feedback here.
Absolutely. Fortunately, when you were talking about your beer previously, the giant, what do I mean to say? It's not a fire truck, it's an ambulance, roared up behind me at the, because where I'm situated is right across from a retirement home. Mm. So you know something bad has happened, but I mean, just came screaming down the road, and it's super loud. So fortunately, our audience was spared from that. But going back to this beer, I mean, this is a great IPA, and I feel like I need to go back. I mean, I don't want it in a bomber, because, you know, I feel when I open a bomber, I have to finish it. I'd rather have this in a smaller 330 mil or a can size, because that's the right size. If I want to have a beer with dinner, if I want to have a beer and pair on the patio, that's kind of what I'm looking for. But there's no fault to be found with this IPA. Like I said, I mean, if you're looking for something that's super hoppy, then this is probably not the beer for you. Even at 65 IPUs, again, the word I use is creaminess. And that's just, when I normally have IPAs, that's not something I associate with an IPA. I mean, it can be crisp, it can be fresh, it can be refreshing, but creamy is not normally that thing. And this is just absolutely, it is as creamy as that flat cap stout. Apparently the 7.2% ABV is starting to kick in because I haven't had dinner, but it's good. It's really good. And like I said, I think I can say with confidence now that this is going to be the pairing of the night for me, which, you know, we talk about IPAs being a tough thing to pair. I'm quite surprised at, but I think maybe shows the versatility of the cigar more than the beer itself, that the cigar can stand up to the IPA and still getting a lot more out of the cigar with this IPA than it was out of the stout of the porter.
I think you might have a pretty unique IPA there.
Yeah.
With the I've had that beer several times. I don't remember it being very creamy. So maybe I want to revisit it. And I am interested to revisit it. But I'm a total hophead. So when it comes to the way you were talking about the IPAs that you don't want, those are the IPAs that I do want.
Definitely not for hopheads.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely on the hoppier side, and you know, I don't want to say the hoppier the better because that's not always true, but that's the kind of stuff that I'm usually looking for. But I do want to go back and revisit that, it's just funny when I look back at my beer journey and remember that the Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. I remember the first few times I had that; it was just so strong, and there was just so much. It was so bitter, it was so hoppy. Now I go back and drink, and it's like nothing. But going from, you know, drinking Coors Light to a a pale ale from Sierra Nevada is a big step. So, anyway, this pairing's not any good.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's a bummer. Yeah, it's bringing out a weird tartness in the beer, and it's not pleasing, really at all. So keep that in mind, I think, when you're pairing stuff, when you go with something that's barrel-aged, or, you know, I think we've run into that a little bit with some of the barrel-aged stuff.
Yeah.
And I may be speaking out of turn, but, you know, depending on the different things that are done with some of these beers, it might be best to stick with more basic stuff. Excuse me. Stick with some more basic stuff when you're pairing, because you're already working with a lot of flavor from your cigar. Just a regular imperial stout that doesn't have any extra flavors in there. You know, it's not barrel aged. It doesn't have peanut butter or chocolate or whatever in there. It still has a ton of flavor. So your jumping off point is already a ton of flavor. When you mix in more things like salted caramel and bourbon barrel aging, sometimes it just gets too much and you're muddying the waters. So that's an interesting thing. I've never really thought about it that way, but I feel like this show in particular has illustrated that for me, that the two beers that really had the extra stuff going on didn't really pair all that well. And this Imperial Stout, which, I mean, they reference it as a peanut butter stout, it's really not. It worked out the best for me because it had a little bit of sweetness. It had some depth of flavor. There's a lot going on, but there wasn't that combating note of, hey, I've added the salt, I've added caramel, I've added ice cream, I've added whatever the hell. So and sometimes it really works. I mean, I've paired stuff with the Prairie Bomb on here, and there's a ton going on in Prairie Bomb. So, you know, it just kind of, you have to play around and you have to figure out what works. I really thought that the salted caramel stout was going to work, and it didn't. So, yeah, the pairing of the night for me is definitely the Mother Earth Syntax Imperial Stout. It's not even close.
I guess it's kind of, you know, it's a lot going back to our last show with Tony Bellotto. You know, he talked about that, and we referenced it earlier in the show, where you just keep building and building and building in flavors, and sometimes there's just too much going on. It sounds mm-hmm. like that's probably the case there. For me, this Torpedo Extra IPA, even though it's the quote-unquote extra IPA, this is by far the best pairing of the night, with the Tool Shed coming in second. I really expected that Black Butte Porter to be the winner of the night, because I figured that was kind of the wheelhouse for this cigar. And yet, total opposite. The Torpedo Extra IPA ended up being the big winner. Talking a little bit about some of the shows we got going on. Of course, we've got, we're pre-recording, so tonight, which will be last week for everyone, you're going to have you and Logan shooting the breeze tonight, is the correct way to say that on the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Absolutely.
We're going to have, again, Talking the Past on Monday, May 23rd. One Embargo is going to be doing the Añejados, which is going to be an interesting show. I have a lot of strong feelings about the Añejados series from Habanos S.A. And then right after this show airs, you guys are going to have Jason Hawley back on with Viva Republica. Always a good guest. Love Viva Republica stuff. That'll be a really great show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And I still go back to that Propaganda, man. That's a damn good cigar. If you have not smoked a Viva Republica Propaganda, do yourself a favor and get your hands on it. I don't know if the SigFed store has it or not, but they probably do. But that is a fantastic cigar. Talk about something that has a lot of different things going on. he's using tobaccos from, like, there's like 9 different tobaccos in there. And I know there's a lot of blenders out there that frown on that kind of thing. But that's what I like about Viva Republica is he's just going for it. And there's a ton of different things. Jason's always a really good interview, so that should be fun.
And then just to keep it confusing, the week after, on June the 2nd, you'll have a Miami Cigar Company with Jason Wood. Not to be confused with Jason Hawley, Jason Wood. So that'll be an interesting show. I think we'll probably be back that week either with a special guest, or if you still have them, we might do a Connecticut show. I don't know if you have any Nomad Connecticut Fuertes left over, but I feel like we haven't done a lot of Connecticut shows, so I feel like we're past due.
Yeah, let's do a Connecticut show, man. There's some good stuff. And that Connecticut Fuerte, I'll have to look. I think I do have one or two lying around. If not, I'll see if I can, I'm not sure if any of my local spots have Nomad or not, but I'll look and see if I can come up with a few, but that'll be fun. And to make it even more confusing with the Jason Hawley and Jason Wood, Miami Cigar Company distributes Viva Republica. So so you're safe if you walk into the Miami cigar booth and you just ask for Jason. Mm-hmm. And you'll get one or the other.
It'll all work out in the end.
Absolutely.
So thanks very much for all of our live listeners who are not actually listening live, but appreciate you tuning in anyways. Thanks for all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners. Wherever you are in the world, we certainly appreciate all the work you do, keeping us safe, even up here in Canada. We know you guys are working hard. Thank you very much. Thanks for tuning in to Sharing Our Pairings. We'll be back next week with a great show. Don't know what the topic is, but it'll be a great show, as always. And as we say on Sharing Our Pairings, drink better, but drink less. And we're fucking back?
Fucking A, dude. I was really disappointed in those other two pairings, man.
Yeah, that's...
That bummed me out.
Yeah, that's... You just don't expect that. I mean, bourbon barrel... Anything or barrel-aged anything, you kind of expect it to be a slam dunk, but
it's so well. Like, if you smell it, it's just there's so much toffee in here. Where I almost like one of the off flavors that you can get in beer is butterscotch, and I almost feel like maybe this barrel sat in the sun for a while and got a little funky or something, because it just doesn't, it almost doesn't taste right. So that's interesting to me. I expect, you know, I had that salted caramel stout before, so I didn't expect a ton because it was just way too sweet for me. Even Dana thought it was too sweet. But this Syntax from Mother Earth is pretty legit, man. I'm definitely going to have to track another one of these down.
Now, was that the one you said was distributed in Canada?
I believe. Maybe.
I'll have to go back and take a look, because if it is available in Canada, I'll have to see if I can get my grubby hands on it. Normally here in Alberta, it's pretty easy to get a lot of import stuff. Our imports are a little bit lax compared to Eastern Canada, where they've got provincial distribution, so it's a little bit harder for new product or external product to get into the province. So,
you know, I think that was actually the Breakside.
Oh, okay.
I think that was Breakside. And, I feel like I'm giving Breakside a hard time. This is the only beer from them that I've ever had. So I do want to check out some more of their offerings. They're the ones that are available in British Columbia and Alberta. But they do, let's see, look in bottles here. They've got a ton of different things that they do. So I would be curious to try some of their other offerings. But yeah, they're the ones who are available in Canada for sure.
Nice. Well, of course, it's very exciting because we're coming up. We're now officially 8 weeks away, just over 8 weeks away from the IPCPR in Las Vegas, which is going to be a great time. Everything is kind of geared towards that now. You know, I'm looking at all the work I have to do between now and then, the number of stores I have to open between now and then. But I'm already kind of in IPCPR mode. My mind is already kind of shifting. You know, I'm getting my headspace ready. And I don't know if, I'm sure you've noticed the number of, as expected, a number of new releases before the IPCPR is just going crazy.
Skyrocketing. Yeah, it's, and I don't think it took a genius to figure out that that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I've been actually saying this for a couple of years, and not like I know anything that somebody else doesn't, but I would have been clearing my pipeline for the last few years. And I think a lot of companies have with some of their smaller releases and their, regional releases and limited releases and all this and that. Now is time to completely flush that pipeline, because if things don't change, anything that you release now, you're not going to be able to sell in 2 years or whatever year. What is it, 2018? Mm-hmm. So you've got 2 years to get that out of here. So the next few years are probably going to be pretty good as far as diversity in the land of things to smoke. I mean, it's if you're the optimist and you're looking for the silver lining in all of this, who knows how it's all going to pan out. I know there's all kinds of lawsuits and all kinds of stuff happening. I'm not qualified to speak on that. I'll say that it sucks, but and there's things that you can do. I mean, there's ways to get involved. That's not what this show's about, but there's all kinds of places to find that information from, CRA, and I know Coop has been blasting out a lot of different stuff, so there's definitely ways to get involved, but this IPCPR is going to be crazy.
Yeah. I'm glad, and we'll be talking about more about our IPCPR coverage as we think we'll probably have a show leading up to that to talk about what we're doing. We're switching things up a little bit to make it more interesting, and I think we kind of anticipated the release schedule so that we've got coverage to bring out the maximum amount of videos that we can and interviews we can, because we're just going to be inundated with, we want to keep away sometimes from where's the new shit, but I feel like the manufacturers are going to kind of take us in that direction. Some of our other sites out there has been talking about tons of old marcas that are all of a sudden coming back. Poor Larinaga was one of the ones that just came back out of nowhere. But, if you don't bring it to market before that that date on August the 10th, that's too bad for you. So you're going to see just a huge revitalization of old brands that were put to rest, and they're being brought back because, what's old is new. And I think that's kind of be the theme of the IPCPR, what's old is new, and anybody who had a project in works is going to have that project released.
Absolutely. And you're starting to see, and it's... It's unfortunate. I mean, obviously, this is a whole unfortunate situation, but see some of these companies that are really new, like Cubeta Queño, I think I said that right, with Protocol, mm-hmm. and they've got the new cigar coming out, and we actually have them lined up to be on Cigar Chat on June 9th, I believe, and they've been doing some really cool stuff, and I can see they've got all kinds of videos with their new bands being printed and new shirts being made and stuff like that, and it's like, that's going to bum me out if I don't get to see what these guys are capable of in the next few years. You know what I mean? Like, that really sucks. And
That was one of the best new releases for me last year at the IPCPR.
Absolutely.
And you just hate to see that kind of inventiveness get quashed.
It's a bummer, man. It's a good word. But it's a definite bummer. And, hopefully things change. And like I said, there's a lot of ways you can get involved. That's not what this show's about. Maybe we'll have a show about that coming up, but it's a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, even and if you tune into our last show with Tony Bellotto, Tony kind of alluded to that. He wasn't quite sure what the future was going to hold, and to hear a guy who produces a really great product talk mm-hmm. about trepidation of what the future is going to hold for his cigar business, that's not what we want to see in the industry. That's not helping the industry succeed. That's not helping small business owners succeed. But as you say, that's probably more topic for another show. Yeah, well, like I said, we'll have more coverage about what we're going to be doing at the IPCPR. I'm sure we'll probably have a show probably mid-June or maybe early July to kind of lead up to that. If you haven't already checked it out, we've got a really great video on our B-roll coverage on YouTube. It doesn't really translate to audio, so I didn't make it into a podcast because a lot of the humor is lost in audio. But if you haven't checked it out, check it out. It's pretty hysterical.
Yeah, there was... That video has been a while in the making, and I can only imagine how long that took you. So thank you for doing that. But it was a lot of fun to go back and watch and kind of stroll down memory lane, if you will. And my wife was watching it, and she doesn't really give a good goddamn about cigars. I mean, she cares about them because I care about them, but ultimately she doesn't. She's looking at the interview. She doesn't know who the people are or care about it, really. But she was cracking up. And I think it's funny that Logan did like 6 interviews.
Yeah.
So Logan did like 4% of the interviews, and I did the rest. Jared did one.
Yeah.
He did one, and he made the B-roll too, which was funny. Because he got oh man, what's the guy
from
Akil? Thank you.
Yeah, he got Akil. Like Akil was doubled over, trying to keep a straight face.
Yeah, he was one of our mic checks was syphilis, and I can't remember where I got that from. It's from a movie, like I don't know, the roadie. That was his way of doing a mic check, and Jared dropped that, and Akil just kind of lost it. But it's funny, man, to go back and watch that stuff, and that's the fun stuff. You go back and you watch the coverage that we have, and really our video coverage is unmatched. There's nobody that even comes close to the video coverage that we have at IPCPR, and that's a credit to you, John, for putting together such quality video. It doesn't matter how bad my questions are. Everything looks great. But it's cool to watch all that, but then to go back and just kind of see all the fuck-ups. And I could not get Emma's name right.
It wasn't
Victorson, and Victorson's not a hard name. My last name's Rasmussen. Mine's much harder.
It was Emma.
I just couldn't get Emma right.
Yep.
But anyway, I don't know. It's funny.
But yeah, we'll definitely have to work on getting a lot more as our sponsor for B-roll. Andre Farkas is, he's going to be leading our B-roll coverage again for 2016, and we're going to have to, as he suggested, we're going to start rolling the moment we go into a booth. We're going to enhance our B-roll coverage for next year, and we'll have that B-roll out a little bit sooner than we did this time. No. It'll be pretty funny stuff, and you'll have to check that out. And we're going to have, like I said, lots of surprises. We keep teasing it because it's going to be really good. We're going to have tons and tons and tons of coverage. But I think that takes us to the end of our After Dark segment, because you've got double duty tonight. So, as we say on Sharing Our Pairings, drink better, but drink less.